loves me, this I know. Not so long ago, somebody pointed out to me that if you get that wrong, it sounds, well, Jesus knows me, this I love. It's remarkable. Karl Barth was one of the most influential theologians of his time. Wrote a lot, toured the world lecturing, taught in universities, a really heavy theologian. Towards the end of his days, someone asked him, Professor Barth, what's the most important thing you've learned in all of your learning and all of your book writing and all of your teaching? What's the most important thing? And apparently his eyes welled up and he started to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sometimes we say it's a children's hymn. Forget that. It's a hymn for all of us. Jesus loves me. Can I have my laptop, Johnny? Please. I don't know about you. I struggle with... I've got an ancient iPhone, but it's always doing things that I don't understand. It does new things all the time. Recently, it has started coming up and telling me my screen time. I don't know how it has done that, and boy, is that scary. Who's been using my phone all that time? The screen time thing comes up, and There we are. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, the screen time comes up and tells you how much time you spend on your phone, and it's really scary. But I've heard other statistics. Any idea how much time, on average, people spend looking at a screen in a week? A screen. Now, it could be a phone, it could be your computer, it could be your TV, it could be, on average, any ideas? 90 hours? 120? No. I reckon it's about 24 hours a week, which is one day a week. Now, that's the average. Obviously, there are probably people here who never look at the screen. So if you take that into account, there are people who look at screens a lot more than that. So that's the average, 24 hours a week. You know what the average for spending quality time with each other is? Whether it's people spending time together or with their children, with their family. Any ideas what that might be? I'll give you a clue. It's nowhere near 24 hours. They reckon maximum about 70 minutes a week. So 24 hours, one day a week, we spend looking at screens. 70 minutes, just over an hour, we spend actually quality time. Now, just to show you how sad I am, I've worked this out over a lifetime. And the good news is I've given you all a lifetime of about 80 years. If you had 80 years, 24 hours a week, you would spend about 11 years looking at a screen. Square eyes? No, wouldn't be in it. The same 80 years, you would spend about 6 months in meaningful, quality relationships. So here's my question to myself and to each of us. What shapes your life? If 11 years of your life is going to be spent in front of a little screen and only 6 months of that life spent with those deep relationships, what shapes your life? What influences will squeeze you and mold you and shape you? Made me think, scares me. And that's one of the reasons why it's good this morning to think about what it is to be in the Word. I don't have the statistics for this, but I wonder if you were to put another picture up there of Bible reading, where it would come. 70 minutes a week? Scary. In the Word. We've been talking about growing spiritually. How do we grow spiritually? How do we grow in Christ? And being in the Word, being in God's Word, is such an important part of that growing. Because again, what shapes your life? What molds your life? Romans 12, verse 2 says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can take on the pattern of the world around you. J.B. Phillips, in his translation of this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. So what squeezes you into a mold? Hope read for us that lovely passage from Timothy. Paul is speaking to Timothy about his ministry, about his own life, about the authority of God's Word and the power of God's Word. And so Paul simply says that all Scripture is God-breathed, that God's involvement in this Bible is so powerful, it's so pervasive, that what is written is infallible and authoritative. It is the very Word of God. And so when we spend time with God's Word, then it's God's Word that shapes us and molds us. Again, that little passage from 2 Timothy says this: God's Word teaches, rebukes, corrects, trains us for righteousness. All the things that we need to become more and more like Jesus, all the things that we need to become Christ-like, to grow spiritually, as we spend time with God's Word, it shapes us and molds us, and we grow. I want to think just very briefly of some of the ways that we do that. Because sometimes people say to me, it's all very well, Stephen, spend time in God's Word, but what do you mean? Let me give you some examples. We can spend time with either the spoken or the written Word. So we come along to church services, and hopefully you hear sermons that help you understand God's Word a little bit more and how it applies to your life, and that's part of interacting with God's Word. Maybe you listen online, radio, TV. There are opportunities to listen to God's Word all around us. Christian books. We are blessed with mountains of books around us. There are bookshelves out here that are filled with books that you're free to come and take and use and read, and they're all there to help us grow. So as we do these things, we're growing. I know quite a few people who when they get into their car for a long journey, instead of automatically turning on the radio, which I confess is what I do, turn on the radio and don't listen to what's happening on it, who slot a CD in and they listen. Just an opportunity to listen to a sermon, to listen to someone talking on a subject from a biblical point of view. Podcasts, if you're into all that sort of thing, if you can work out how to do it in your phone, great, because there's just stuff there. It's available to us. A couple of weeks ago, Keswick was just across the road. We were blessed to have some brilliant speakers there. Next week, New Horizons starts again. We're on our doorstep. We have these gifted, able Christian speakers. There are so many opportunities for us to be in God's Word as we hear it, as we read it, as we listen. You know, all those things are available to us. Let's make use of them. Because these are the things that will shape us and mold us. But as we listen, as we read, be open-minded as to what God is going to say to you, but we don't approach these things with an empty mind. And there is a world of difference between being open-minded and being empty-minded. Empty-minded, just anything can flood in and fill your mind. Open-minded, we begin to ask and to listen and to think and to pray through things. There's a lovely verse in Acts chapter 17. Paul is in Berea. He's explaining the gospel to these folks, And here's what Luke says about these folks in Berea. He says the Bereans received the message with great eagerness. They were always listening. They're always wanting to hear. And they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So they weren't being empty-minded. They were being open-minded. They would listen to what Paul says, and then they would go back and they would read their Bibles and say, yes, you know, that's, I can see where Paul's getting that from. There's a world of difference between being open-minded and being empty-minded. We should be open-minded, but never empty-minded as we approach the Bible. So we can read, we can listen, and it's a great way to interact with God's Word. We can also spend time with some sort of Bible reading program. I'm sure many of you, I know many of you, use Bible reading notes. That's brilliant for lots of reasons. It gives you gives us a direct contact with the Bible. You can listen to someone else speak about the Bible. When you're actually sitting down on your own to read the Bible, using Bible reading notes or some sort of program, you actually interact with the Bible. It's you and God's Word together. And that's important. Using a program gets us out of that little thing where we just always, with our favorite parts of the Bible, of course we have, we all have. And when we're using a Bible reading program, it means we don't automatically just stick to our favorite parts. We begin to read more widely in the Bible, and that's encouraging. It also means that we don't avoid whatever we understand by a difficult part in the Bible. Maybe it's a part we can't understand, or maybe it's a part we're not very comfortable with. And the temptation is, well, we'll just miss that. We'll go on to the next bit. Using a Bible reading program helps us to actually look at those bits of the Bible that we, for whatever reason, find difficult. It is important. And as we read regularly, as we sort of systematically read through the Bible, then we seek to apply what we read to our own lives. So we can listen, we can read, we can also interact personally with God's Word, and that is so important. There's also Bible study, which takes our Bible reading to another stage. Instead of simply reading through it, we actually spend time, maybe look up concordances or look up online and find out what words mean, what was the thinking behind that verse, who was this person, and we begin to find out a little bit more about that Bible passage, and it's simply deeper than reading and helps us understand a little bit more. It helps us to be prepared. So if we're actually going to a Bible study together, and that is so important, that we actually spend time with each other reading our Bibles and studying. We prepare, we go along, and we begin to talk together about what God is saying to us through His Word. We can study the Bibles. That's why we have home groups. Home groups, well, I hope they are comfortable places to be. They're good places to be. You're with your friends. But much more than that, they're places where we can study God's Word together and apply God's Word. Then there are memory verses. I think I'm right in saying the only time we ever use the word, the term memory verse around here is when we have children up at the front. And we do all sorts of things to help children understand and to remember Scripture. It's as though that's a childish thing to do. It's great fun. We'll watch them do that. It's a bit like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. That's a children's hymn. Lovely. I hear the kiddies singing that, but it's not for me. Of course it is. The psalmist at one stage simply says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or the sort of thinking behind it is, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You store it up so it's there when you need it. And it's amazing as I visit people in hospital or people who are just going through difficult times for whatever reason, the number of people who will say to me, Stephen, I remember a verse I learned in Sunday school. I remember a verse that I learned X, Y, Z. And it's stored up, and it's just so helpful and comforting and reassuring in those difficult times. Memory verse is not just for children. You remember Jesus when he is in the desert being tempted by Satan? Jesus doesn't sit down and say, listen, Satan, let you and I have a philosophical discussion about what you're asking me here. Jesus simply said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Stored up in his heart so that when he needs it, it's there. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, stores up God's word in his heart, how much more do you and I need to do the same? And it's a challenge. I find it really difficult to remember. Anybody who's ever seen me at an ATM will know that, because what are those four numbers that I need to get? I just find it very hard. And yet, it's something we need to do. We need to remember God's word. And so I'm not going to ask us to do it now, but my challenge to each of us is, this is a very familiar verse, a couple of verses, we know it. Why not try and memorize it? And then next week you can come up one by one and no. And there'll be a pencil for anybody who can say the two verses. Why not try and memorize it? If we memorized one verse a week, next July, you and I would know 52 verses of the Bible. I haven't worked it out over 80 years yet. Somebody else will do that. But you know what I mean. Storing up God's word that we might not sin against him. So we're to come under the influence of God's word, reading the entire Bible, studying together, memorizing, allowing God's word to mold us and to shape us. Because reading God's word is not an end in itself. The reading, the studying, the sharing together, those things are great. But if that's where it finishes, we have missed out. The last little bit of these verses simply says that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When God's word shapes us and molds us, teaches, rebukes, corrects, trains us, we're thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's amazing. So here's the end goal. Not simply the memorizing, not simply the knowing, but the living it out, so that our lives are changed. We become more like Jesus. So as we read, as we listen, as we study together, as we memorize, let's keep this in mind. That's our finishing line, becoming more like Jesus. Not just taking off bits of scripture that we do so easily, but becoming more like him. And we keep our eyes on that finishing line, and we encourage each other. So, who or what's going to shape or mold you for the rest of this day, for the rest of your days? Squeezed into the mold of the world around us, or shaped and molded by the very word of God? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we confess, Lord, that even though your word is freely available to us, we're slow to read, slow to spend time, slow to apply. Forgive us, Lord. And by your Spirit, give us an ever-deepening hunger to know and to do and to live your word. And this we ask for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen.